League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
I have terrible news. If you have an office job that you go to, there's a good chance you have a condition that you weren't even aware of.
Now we turn to a topic sure to get your attention, dead butt syndrome. That is the unfortunate name of the latest problem that comes from sitting around all day.
Dead butt syndrome.
I mean, this must be what you have been reading the last 5 to 10 minutes because you're up. You were just doing some stretches. I haven't seen you do any of that in that area of the studio for at least 5 years.
It's really bad. It's called gluteal amnesia.
Oh my gosh, your butt forgets how to live.
It really does. And you want to know what? I have this. I 100% have this. If you sit at a desk job where you sit at a seat for 2 to 3 hours a day, you already have this condition. And we sit here for 10 to 12 hours a day most days.
It's a long day,
Yeah, so I'm thinking about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, all these things is true. So what exactly is it all about? And do you have it?
Our glutes help with us basically stabilizing ourselves. So strong glutes basically help equal a strong core. So if your glutes aren't active because we're sitting all day, we tend to find other muscles will take over and do the job for us, which isn't what we want.
Do you know that Tiger Woods had to get out of a competition because he had dead butt syndrome?
He had dead butt syndrome.
Yes.
That's a thing that happened to him. I mean, he also flipped over a vehicle and got beat up in an Applebee's parking lot.
That has nothing to do with his dead butt syndrome. That's because he sat too much.
Okay.
I feel like I keep hearing experts talk about this over and over. And essentially what they're saying is like, because we sit so much and we're not meant to sit so much, we're losing all the muscles in our butts.
Yeah.
And essentially what's going to happen is I think we're all going to die.
How are we going to lift things with our butts if we don't have strong butt muscles? Right.
All of it is a real thing. So what they're saying that you should do,
I mean, probably get up and walk around, I'm guessing, number one.
Well, right. They say
squats, that type of stuff.
Well, they say every 50 minutes, you should set an alarm to get up for every 50 minutes. You should never sit longer than 50 minutes at a time. There's certainly days where I sit in this chair and I don't get up for like 5 hours.
I've been looking forward to getting home and sitting on my couch for the next 4 hours. I mean, they always want people to get up and move around. We get that, but there's no recess at work, right? So, you know, get up, maybe do a couple laps around your cubicle or around your desk or whatever, just so that you don't feel your butt tingling. I would think that that's a step in the right direction.
It's a step in the right direction, but there's so much you have to do to keep your butt healthy.
Yeah.
Like you could do donkey kicks. You know what donkey kicks are? They're like when you bend over and you take your leg back.
You were doing that like 8 minutes
ago. Take your leg back.
That's what I was talking about.
That's good.
I haven't seen you do that like ever. Mm-hmm. And then I looked over and saw that just a moment ago.
Okay. Also, you're supposed to stand up. Stand up.
Yeah.
Get up.
Okay.
Come on.
All right.
Do you want broken butt syndrome?
I'm up.
Now tap your butt.
Oh, that I like.
Tap your butt.
Yeah.
And now you got to do hip thrusters and circles. Now hips all the way around. All the way around. This butt syndrome isn't going to take us. Not today, anyway. Can a restaurant tell you what to wear? There is a cafe. It's called Kim's Cafe in Greensboro, North Carolina. And it has come under scrutiny because they have a strict dress code that's literally written all over their front doors.
Okay, so what is the dress code?
It says no shorts, no crop tops, no T-straps, no leggings, no short skirts, no cleavage showing whatsoever.
That is a long list of rules. Mm-hmm. I mean, plenty of places have had dress codes before, right? Black tie required. No shorts. I mean, I've heard no shorts in a million places. You go to a family resort and you go out for dinner at night, they're probably not going to want to have you in flip-flops and shorts.
Well, it's true. They asked lawyers, is it even legal to have all these things written on your door? Can you enforce it?
And the answer to that is absolutely. A business owner can refuse service or refuse to allow patrons into their business for any reason at all that they define, as long as it's not discriminatory.
Huh.
Right. So it has to be for everybody. And if it's defined on the front door, it means, yes, this means you.
It's unlawful for any employer to discriminate against someone because of race, color, religion, sex, or national origin.
So you just tell them you don't like their face.
Right.
And you say, you can't
or
come
their
in
cleavage.
Here. Right. I don't like your cleavage.
Yeah.
It's too high. That push-up bra is too much, you know?
Yeah.
That seems a lot to me. And I know that there's been a lot of push in the school districts, too. I mean, I saw one school district was banning black clothes. You're not allowed to wear all black because they were saying that it brings down the morale and it makes people sad when
you're intimidated or whatever.
I'm wearing all black right now.
Yeah.
I feel fine.
But you're an adult, and this is a workplace, and you can wear what you want within reason to that workplace as well. I mean, I think that when I read through or hear this list of rules, they just want this to be a nice, respectable place. Mm-hmm. Everybody has a different impression of what respectable is. And you know what? When you have rules, there's always going to be people that are going to be like, did we really need that rule? Was that required? That seems like common sense. And then you'll run into that one person that you're like, oh, wait a minute. 1,000% we needed that rule because they will push the limits on it.
That's not all restaurants can do.
There are a whole lot of things a business can require and they're not protected under that law. For example, no card payments, cash only, or if there's no cell phones allowed to be used in the business, they can require that.
Interesting, because you can go to a place and they can say you can't use your cell phone, or they can say cash only or get out of here. I've seen cash only, though, in many places.
Oh, yeah, plenty of places.
I just think that that's most likely when people will turn around and walk out, because if you don't have like a 20 in your pocket, you're not getting a burger.
Yeah, a sale is a sale, and you usually want that money in hand. But, you know, it depends. With the fees that are involved, some places they just choose to be like, nope, you'll find another way. There's an ATM right over there. You know where that works? The fair. I went to a fair this past weekend, Anna. All the food was cash only.
I hope you weren't wearing leggings and a T-strap.
I tell you what, I wasn't. I wasn't hungry because I went to the ATM.
And your cleavage wasn't hanging out.
Well, that's not a promise.
NFL season is officially underway. And even if you don't care about the game at all, here's the one thing that everybody can enjoy. The food that comes along with it. Six-time Emmy-nominated chef, Chef Plum. You can find him online at chefplum.com. All right, Plum, what are we cooking this year?
Happy football season. That's one of my favorite times of year. I'm a giant football fan, and I know you are, too.
Huge.
I know Raven is. Raven and I fight about football at least twice a year, so I'm waiting for our first football fight to happen.
Well, you know what? As soon as we get my game underway this evening, I'll have something to brag about or cry about, one way or the other.
All right, well, listen. Football is one of the funnest times of year because of the food, like you said. And one of the staples of football season has got to be chicken wings.
Bone in or bone out?
Well, me.
I mean, there's no such thing as a bone out chicken wing. Stop saying that. Whoever says that needs to stop.
I'm
That's
just telling you.
Finger. Wait, that's listen, not boneless wings.
They're selling them, Plum. Don't be mad at me for it.
Let's talk about chicken wings. So one of the things you want to do when you're making wings at your house, I found out after all of my years of doing this, is you want to par cook them, okay? Which means you want to cook them almost done ahead of time. So some people put them in the oven. I like to actually take mine and do a technique called poaching in beer, which means I'm going to put them in like a beer and water mixture. You know, you can use all beer if you want to. Bring it to almost a boil and then let it sit in that like almost boil, that like 200 degree water for about an hour. Then you take them out and let them dry off. Now they're ready to put in a pan and fry and get nice and crispy. They have to be crispy. And what happens is when they cook in that beer, they absorb a lot of that delicious flavor from the beer, gets put into those wings. It comes out so good. After that, you want to fry them off. Or you can put them in your oven, but I prefer to fry them. Toss them in your favorite sauce. And that is the key thing, to cook them off ahead of time. It makes the biggest difference, Anna.
True or false? Air frying is superior to regular frying.
False. Completely false. Why would you ask me that? Yeah. It's false.
Forgive me, Plum, but I remember you were very high up on binders. Binders, if you're putting anything on your wings.
Yes. If you're doing like a dry rub or something like that on your wings, you want to put a binder on there. And a binder is just something that makes it stick to it. I like to use mustard when I do that. And a lot of people think, hey, you're using yellow mustard. Doesn't it taste like mustard then? Not at all. That mustard flavor goes away as it cooks.
All right, Chef Plum, football foods. What else you got?
All right, listen. Your next best friend, and you can make all kinds of fun things, go to the grocery store and get some of that biscuit dough or crescent dough. And here's why they're so fun, because you can just stuff anything inside of them and bake them, and now you have these cool little appetizers. I actually will take biscuit dough, roll it into small little balls, toss it with a little bit of garlic oil that I've made, and then finish it with more garlic oil and more parsley when it's done, and now you have these beautiful, like, almost, I don't know, garlic knots.
That sounds delicious.
So yeah, that's a great idea.
You could also take those little crescent doughs and put a little ham and cheese in it, roll it up, like these little ham and cheese crescent doughs.
What?
It is just so easy. And if you want to get really, really fancy, get some nice hot dogs, roll them in the crescent dough, and now you have like a giant pigs in a blanket situation, which is unbelievable. It's the most easy thing to use, biscuit dough. I'm telling you, they're like your hack for football season.
I went through a period where I would buy the puff pastry sheets, like once I learned about them, the Pepperidge Farm ones, and I just... cooked everything with them.
Yeah.
I wrapped meat with them.
Vegetables.
I made everything.
You definitely could. I mean, you can rap literally anything you want. You can do so much rapping in those, you might become part of the Wu-Tang Clan. Now, listen, if you want to really, yeah, it's a dad joke. I apologize.
It was so bad. It was so bad.
Never again, bro.
I was like that because of that, this
protect
conversation's
your neck
over.
By never doing that again.
But I've got one more for you. I got one more really good one for you.
All right.
Instead of chicken wings, I want you to do the same thing you did with the chicken wings. Like you cook them a little bit of beer first, dry them off, then fry them or put them in the oven. But do the same thing, but use drumsticks. So now you have like big chicken wings. You can toss them in sauce, and it just looks amazing to have these giant chicken wings. Eats the exact same way, cooks the exact same way, and tastes delicious. So try it. It's great.
I probably prefer that because there's more meat.
It's just chicken
right,
supersized.
Sure.
I'm here for that.
Plum, if people want to listen to your podcast, where do they go?
Any place you find fine audio program, you can get us. We're on Apple. We're on Spotify. We're everywhere. Just search for Plum Love Foods. You can even tell Alexa to play Plum Love Foods, and she will. And this week, we're talking all about football food and barbecuing in the fall. It's a lot of fun.
Could this be the end of homework? And would you be happy about that or not? Now, if you missed it last week, we were talking about it. California legislator passed new laws, and this is what it said.
The proposal would mandate local school boards and educational agencies to establish homework policies that consider impacts to students' physical and mental health, all while including input from parents, teachers, and students themselves.
They're saying that kids get too much homework and it's time to get rid of it. Top two reasons, mental health and because people are cheating on AI anyway.
I don't know. So we just have none? Is that a good idea?
If you look at the amount of homework kids are getting, it's decreasing as more schools are starting to realize that it's taking a toll on these kids that should be outside playing and doing other things besides just being stuck in a seat, especially if you have kids that have to have jobs or take care of younger siblings.
Well, I think when you get into hours of homework, yeah, it's definitely detrimental, right? But I think that some sort of assignment that leaves the classroom is not necessarily the worst idea. But, you know, I was never great at it. Like, you only have my attention for so long, as I'm sure you're aware, Anna. So, you know, when I get home, it's no different than anything else. And if the work is interesting, that will make a difference. But it's the bad assignments you remember typically over the really good ones.
Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, I was thinking about it. Worst school project you ever had to do. Yeah. I used to love projects because I'm not a good test taker. So that's where I excelled. Like, yeah. I liked being able to go home and double check my work and make sure I was doing it right and, you know, not just fill in a hole on a sheet, you know, like an SAT score.
Yeah. I mean, I always did well with testing. You know what I didn't like was undefined things. Here, write an essay. I want you to write an essay about something of your choosing. I would just rather if you told me what it was to do, then I would do better with my assignment.
No, the open-ended is the best because then you can just kind of fake your way through it. It's great. They can't tell you you're wrong. My essay wasn't wrong.
Oh, I feel like teachers can certainly tell you.
I mean,
wrong.
They told me all the time.
You know what the worst was? It was when they gave you the summer project. You would go on summer, but they'd be like, oh, but you have to have this ready for the first day. I had to read The Grapes of Wrath by John Steinbeck. I think I was seventh grade going into eighth grade. Have you ever read that book?
No.
That book is torture, especially when you're 13 years old. There's entire chapters that no plot gets continued. It's just Steinbeck describing the Old West and the trek to Calvin. Entire chapters like he's just talking about grass.
Yeah.
I was 13.
Summer reading in general stinks.
Awful.
I mean, the fight difficult. I had to have with my daughter all summer long to read the books, and they were good books.
Right.
You didn't even have a job this summer. Like, what are you doing? Read these books. And she's like, I'll watch the movie like a week before. I'm like, no.
Right. Yeah. Clip notes. Oh. Yeah. Clip notes.
Steinbeck won a Pulitzer. It doesn't matter. I was a child.
Yeah.
You know, I was a freshman in high school, and we were in a science class, and we're learning about like momentum and, you know, physics. And we had to build like a roller coaster out of not the Legos, but like those connects, like the tear down version
the
of
the lame
Legos.
School Legos. Sure.
Yeah.
So we had to use those, but it was annoying because we had to do it at home during a week span on our own time. And I cannot tell you how annoying it was to bring that thing back into school without falling apart.
Right. You know what? Fair enough. Any project you had to carry on the bus, that was not something you wanted.
I got to say, the next year, they made that teacher ban that project because so many students were complaining about it's breaking everywhere and they could never get a good grade because they never knew how to put it back together when they got it back in there.
Sean put his heart and soul into it.
That was so hard.
I had an undergraduate finish my degree. I had to write a 30-page paper on the history of British media. I know. Because I studied in the UK. I studied in London, which was awesome. But you know what wasn't awesome? Writing a 30-page paper about the BBC.
Right.
That was a lot.
As a Yankee. No matter what you say, they're going to be like,
although now in retrospect, it was fascinating and I enjoyed every moment of it and learned a lot. So I guess it was a good assignment. So there we go.
Lies.
There's a bill in California to ban large loads of homework in public schools. And a lot of other states are looking at it, too, now that it's become such a big thing.
Mm. We'll see whether or not that pans out. And then, of course, we'll see what the effects are 20 years from now. But in the meantime,
I started thinking about all the projects I had to do and the homework assignments I had to do. What was the worst project you ever had to do for school? 1-800-330-9999. Erica.
Well, we had to do dissections, and we had these frogs that we had to dissect, and I couldn't handle it, and I threw up all over my frog.
We had an option that we could opt out of it.
Yeah.
And I did. So I had to do the worm. And after we did the worm, I knew that I couldn't handle anything more. And then I got sent like out in the hallway and had to work on a pamphlet. But you want to know what? I don't regret that decision. Do they still dissect animals?
I don't know. I think so. I would guess in some schools. I got to tell you, I mean, so at our school, we were one of the ones that we had the fetal pig too.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh no.
Yeah,
no.
That was pretty serious, right? I opted out of the pig. I think I opted in on the frog.
Mm.
Never had the option of a worm. It was kind of boring, to tell you the truth. I don't know what that would be. Dave, terrible school project you had to be a part of.
Well, my kids had to dress up like Revolutionary War heroes.
Okay.
So we dress up Billy as George Washington with the white wig and the frilly shirt. And yeah, he looked just as much like Betsy Ross as he did George Washington. But, you know, we got through the day.
Yeah.
I remember when Hayden was younger, we did that. I can't remember what it was called right now, but they had to dress up like a historical figure.
Colonial Times.
Wax Museum. It was the Wax Museum.
Okay, yeah.
So everybody had to dress up like a different figure, and they stood around the cafeteria, and then the other kids would come from other grades, and they would put a penny in there, and they had to like recite something that the person would say.
Okay.
Which in theory, all of this is cool. And whenever you have things like that, it seems cool, like you get to become a figure. But what I've realized is that it's just expensive because you have to buy these things, and you want them to look good. You want them to fit the part. You want them to do well and get a good grade. And then I'm like, did I just spend $50 on a costume of Princess Diana?
Here's the thing, too, is that in elementary school, nobody knows who you are. In middle school, barely anybody has a chance of knowing who you are. You're being dressed up by your parents for a figure from history. Mm. Unless there was a photo right there next to them, nobody knows who they are. You know what I mean? And you know what? I've got a question while we're at it, while we're talking about these revolutionary times or whatever. Why does wool itch so much? Why did wool suck so much? I mean, yeah, it's warm, but wool, get your act together, all right? Stop being itchy.
When did we figure out cotton was better? When did that happen?
I don't know.
I feel like that should have...
After the cotton gin, probably. Somewhere around then.
All right.
Eli Whitney.
See that? Now we're doing some serious history now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Eli Whitney sounds like somebody would have to get dressed up as for Wax Museum.
Sounds like a bar.
California has a homework bill. It's a new bill pushing for schools to give less homework in the public schools.
I mean, where was this when I was in school?
Oh, gosh. Wouldn't that have been great? When you look back, though, you did a lot of projects, and some of them were certainly not fun. Worst school project you ever did, or maybe with your kid you had to do. 1-800-330-9999. Colleen.
Okay, so my son had to invent something, and I am terrible at building things, so we took a remote control car and pretended that it was an electronic robot who brings you your TV remote, but we, like, stuck the remote control inside, like, the dumpster part of the remote control truck and just pretended like it was bringing it to us.
Well, I'm failing you. I mean,
yeah.
If I'm the science teacher, the robotics teacher, like, I'm not fooled there for a moment.
I don't even think I could help in a situation like that. I'd be like, you have to, you have to stay after school for help. Like, I can't figure out a way to make anything move.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, like, the science and the, like, they're so much more advanced. Remember, like, our science fairs, we would grow crystals?
Yeah.
That was the extent of what I could do for the science fair. Now, there's robots, real live robots that are powered by Legos that play music on like merry-go-round.
Yeah, I remember when those first came out. Like, I had robotics kits. You know, they were cool to put together a thing or two. But then you were like, wait a minute. After I put this all together, it's not an actual dinosaur with a robot mechanical head. I have to still control it. Then I gave up on that. But if you're shoving the TV remote in the back of a remote control car, you're failing.
Nate, how about you? Worst school project you ever had to do or your kids had to do?
Oh, man. And for me, I remember I had to do this project on Thomas Edison. Not only was it a full report, but they needed a visual component, too.
Mm.
And I couldn't figure out what to do. tried making like a paper mache model of his head and everything. And thank God my dad, he saw me struggling and he ended up taking it over. And he built this whole model with a working light bulb, put batteries in it, and ended up getting an A. So I guess it kind of was a good project because I didn't have to do that much on it.
Do you remember paper mache?
Yes.
It was
gross.
So messy.
I don't miss it at all, man.
Do they still do paper mache things?
I'm thinking they must.
They have to.
I don't miss it at all. What was the mixture? It was like
glue. Wasn't it glue?
Was it like no, but it was like it was watery, right? It was like,
yes.
Oh, gosh.
I remember.
Oh, it was so annoying. Your hands would be all dark mesh from the newspaper.
I remember we had one project where we had to put I don't even know how this is legal. Yeah. We had to put saran wrap over our faces.
Yeah.
And then, like, in our group, we have to paper mache our faces to, like, have, like, our face. And now I think back, I go, did we saran wrap our faces in school,
right,
and then put paper mache over it?
Oh, don't
drip?
Worry about it, your art teacher says. You can breathe through this straw.
Right.
What are we doing here? Well,
I can't believe that was a real thing. You had to use newspaper.
Yes.
You can't even find newspaper anymore.
Right. Right. I mean, that you get an A on the project already. If you show up with anything that's paper mache now, you automatically get a B because you found a newspaper.
Here's a New York Times from 1997, right. Mrs. Sam.
You got to go to a library and rip them off.
They not like us. They not like us.
Yeah, and you know what? If you missed it this weekend, it's the big announcement everybody always waits for. And
my name Kendrick Lamar, and I'll be performing at Super Bowl 59. Will you be pulling up? I hope so. I won't want you to miss it. Meet me in New Orleans, February 9th, 2025. Wear your best dress, too, even if you're watching from home.
Okay, Kendrick Lamar, I have a lot of respect for you, but I'm not putting a dress on to sit on my couch.
I mean, best dress. You could just look good. Could be a pantsuit. Could be whatever you feel good in. Maybe you got some leather pants.
No, probably just my sweatpants and sweatshirt like I do every other year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you missed it, Kendrick Lamar is going to be your Super Bowl halftime performer in New Orleans.
I mean, obviously, I think he's going to load up with a whole lot of guest stars.
Because,
you know, I mean, people know who Kendrick Lamar is, but not a lot of people, like, you know, are coming out singing his songs. And he's aware of that. He knows that. So
he'll have a lot of guests.
Yeah.
He was part, I think, of the 2022 Super Bowl halftime show.
With Dre and Mary J.
Yeah,
and there was a lot of guests there, and that was a huge show. It was a great show.
I thought it was interesting because if you haven't been following the rap wars, him and Drake hate each other.
Yes.
And they just do rap disses back and forth to each other.
Well, Kendrick won that battle this past year, though.
I mean,
They Not Like Us is the song of the summer.
If you like. If
you want to go to Canada? You want to represent for Canada?
No.
Is that right? Because you and I can scrap.
I can promise you I don't know enough about this to make a valid argument either way.
Wow.
Yeah, right. But that's it. I heard it and I was like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, like it's fine and I'm sure it'll be great. And I'm sure like when it's happening, everybody's going to be up on their feet. But I honestly thought that this was going in a country direction this year. But then again, if you look at it, it's Roc Nation. So Roc Nation produces it now.
Mm-hmm. It's Jay-Z.
It's Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. It makes sense. So we'll see how it goes.
Well, you know, I mean, it's been a while. And listen, it's not to say that they couldn't incorporate some of those aspects, right? So, I mean, a lot of people over the last day or two have been talking about Lil Jon because he's from that area. And they like to get a local artist in there. You know what? Maybe like, you know, somebody else is going to show up. Maybe they'll put a little country in there.
We'll see. Also, if you are watching the NFL, you probably realize that Tom Brady made his big debut. And here's what it sounded like.
You know, I wasn't sure with you coming in the booth. I made sure I did my hair real nice. I figured there'd be some more on cameras with you here today. You know, just a hunch.
Hey, with this more we could do up here to provide the fan experience. I do what they tell me. Understand that. I'm still a rookie in here.
He is a rookie in there, and people were throwing him under the bus saying he did a terrible job. And all I kept thinking about is, like, cut this guy some slack. It's his first day on the job. Imagine your first day on the job.
I thought he was pretty good. The game was a little lackluster that he was calling. He was calling the Browns or the Cowboys game. And it was like, there wasn't a whole lot happening in that game. So I mean, listen to Tony Romo. Plenty of people hate on that guy, and other people love him. So
yeah, I think, knowing how Tom Brady is, and never
he'll
been
get good at it.
He'll get good at it.
That's
like
right.
even as a never been a Patriots fan or a Tom Brady fan myself, like don't discount this guy. If he says that he's going to do this and he's going to earn
he'll
his money, he's going to figure it out. So give him another week or two to iron out all those things, and you'll be all right.
I mean, the guy I loved the most was John Madden. He was terrible. He was just a mess, but he loved him, you know.
Would you pay to see a tourist attraction? Listen to this.
Rome could soon launch a ticketing system to enter one of its most iconic sites, the Trevi Fountain.
What? Trevi Fountain is free to see. You just literally walk up to it. That's all it is.
Okay, and then what happens when you get there? What do you do?
Well,
I'm not super familiar.
So, I mean, for it's beautiful. It's okay. a huge, beautiful fountain in the middle of Rome.
Is it like the one that they have out front of Caesar's? Is that the one that they've kind of recreated over there?
It's a really nice. So.
Yeah, there's a huge one right outside of Las Vegas Caesar's.
But it's real.
But it's real. Yeah. It's the original one.
Right.
Like Caesar was there.
Right.
Yeah, Caesar was in the area.
35 million people visit the Trevi Fountain every single year.
I'm not an expert, but that sounds like a whole lot.
Right, exactly. And, you know, you think it's just because the Italians, they want to make more money. That's why they want to charge you to see this fountain.
I mean, you're Italian.
No, I know.
You're mad at all of them?
No, I'm not. This is why they want to do it.
Authorities in the Italian capital say they want to start the scheme at the fountain as part of ongoing plans to both reduce crowds and promote sustainable tourism.
I'm not really against this. They want to charge. If you're Roman, you don't pay anything. You know, like if you're a local, you're good.
Yeah, but they'll be like, wave you in. They'll be like, no, you're good. You're on the list.
But if you're a tourist, it'll cost you €1, which is like $1.20 American.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Listen, overcrowding is a big deal. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than when you've traveled all across the world or whatever, and you've come to a place where you want to see something, and it's just mobbed by people. And half of them, let's be honest, they don't care. They're walking past that as they're getting to something else. So this doesn't make people choose. Plus, it'll allow them to clean it, right?
Now, the legend is that if you take a coin and you specifically hold it in your right hand and you throw the coin over your left shoulder into the fountain,
okay,
then one day you will return to Rome. And that's kind of the legend for hundreds of years. Do you know that they clean out that fountain twice a week? Do you know how much money in coins they collect every year?
Tell me.
About $1.5 million.
Wow.
That goes to charity.
Wow.
Yeah. When you go to a fountain and you throw a coin in, what coin do you typically throw in?
Usually a quarter. I mean,
what?
Yeah.
What, are you rich? Nothing makes me more mad than when my five-year-old sees the fountain and she's like, Mommy, coins. And I go into my wallet and all I have is quarters. I get so mad.
I don't carry pennies. I'm against pennies.
Well, I just read this article the other day. Do you know it costs 3 cents to make one penny?
Yes.
What kind of nonsense is that?
I told you I've been against it forever. The pennies are useless.
This is the 19th consecutive year in the United States of America that it costs more to make a penny than it actually is worth.
What are we doing here?
Why are we doing that?
Let's just go to nickels.
We should just throw them at all the fountains. We should take all the pennies and throw them in.
And then it would be over.
I guess. But anyway, would you pay €1 to see the Trevi Fountain?
I mean, sure. Yes, absolutely. I want to be there, and then I want to take that luck that I gained from that fountain back to Caesar's in Las Vegas and, you know, make it a winner. Be like, I was at the real one.
All right, I'm going to give you 3 monuments in America, and you tell me how much you want to pay to see them.
Okay, go.
Statue of Liberty.
$10.
Golden State Bridge.
I mean, you could just drive across it. I'm just going to drive across it.
I mean, you could also get on the Staten Island Ferry and go see the Statue of Liberty. You're willing to pay $10.
Figure in New York, there's always a cost with something. That's all I'm saying. I stay in the car.
Mount Rushmore.
I've been there, and it's like $40, actually.
But can you just look up?
Yes. No. They kind of put like some trees in the way and whatnot.
It's ridiculous.
You don't get a great view. It's very nice at night. Good chicken tenders.
Okay.
I will tell you that, yeah.
Let's connect again. The Anna and Raven Show.
What if you could do something for yourself and others that didn't cost anything and had huge health benefits? Call somebody. That's it. So this probably is not going to come as a huge surprise to you, but there's a huge mental health epidemic in the United States.
Everybody's talking about it.
And they found that a majority of Americans spend less than 15 minutes a day on the phone, actually using it as a phone.
That makes sense nowadays.
Well. Yeah. Raven, producer John, producer Sean, also 40 out of 41 people asked rather text than take a phone call. That's huge.
I feel like that's everybody nowadays.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. And that 15-minute thing sounded high, too. That's a long time to spend on the phone per day.
Sean put out a whimper because he's got to be on the phone all day here. He's like, okay, fake stat.
Right. All right. But I want you guys to take out your phones really quick. Mm-hmm. All right. Go to your recent calls. Look at them. Is there anybody there, when you look at it, like in the last 5 or 6 calls, that you talked to for more than 30 seconds? And who was it?
Mm-hmm.
All right. Sean first.
Rachel.
Well, your girlfriend, right? I mean, that would make sense because it's your girlfriend.
Right.
John?
Yeah. My best friend from high school, Dan.
All right. And how long did you talk to him for?
We talked all the way on the drive home from here to my house, about 15 minutes.
Okay, cool.
Wow.
And Raven, how about you?
I mean, besides my wife, nobody that I've talked to for longer than 5-10 minutes at any time.
All right, so you're probably wondering, like, where is this
forever.
All going? Right.
If it wasn't business, right.
And I'm just as guilty. I am. There's two people I talk to on the phone regularly that mm-hmm. are my friends. That is it. And what they found is that when you stay connected to others, it creates feelings of belonging, being loved, cared for, and valued. And not only does it help you, but it helps the other person, too, feel all those things. And there's so many health benefits to it. It protects against serious illness and disease just by picking up a phone and talking to somebody, wild.
And, like, I thought that these phones were supposed to be giving us all kinds of horrible, like, diseases right. and, nope. like, tumors and stuff like that.
That's a different study.
Right. Come on. Sorry.
It's all about social interaction. And the whole thing is that if you don't have social interaction, like, I feel like it's such a joke now where, like, so excited to cancel my Friday plans and like, oh, I got to stay home by myself on the couch. Perfect night. But the truth of the matter is that that's not good for you. It increases your stress. It weakens your immune system. And like in general, it's not good for you.
Mm.
So we want to push this. Let's connect again. And we really it doesn't cost anything. But what we want you to do is to call old friends, call old family members you haven't talked to in a long time, reach out to someone on the phone, not just a like on their Facebook page or on their Instagram reel or whatever, and actually initiate a conversation and say, how have you been? Because you never know who needs you and you never know how much you need them until you reignite that conversation.
I mean, you also don't know what that status will be if you haven't talked to them in a while, right? Some of these things you might have to have some unresolved conflict that you have to talk out or whatever, or you know, something like that. I mean, it could be anything like that. If you're carrying around something, so many times you're carrying around something thinking to yourself, like, your status of one relationship might be one thing, and you could be completely off base.
Raven, how many
the other person doesn't remember that.
Have you made
so many.
In your life all this of, is the first place you go to?
All of them, John.
I'm right there with him, though.
All of them.
I was on Facebook earlier this morning, and I saw one of my friends, and she posted how she had lost touch with a good friend of hers about, I don't think she said like 10 years ago or something, but she had so many pictures and memories. And they unexpectedly passed away.
Hmm.
And it killed her that she had lost touch with her all these years. And nothing happened. But you know when you just kind of fall, like you just, people just come and go
sure.
out of your lives.
Right.
So the whole point of this is to reconnect with those people. And it's good for you. It's good for them. And what does it take to make a phone call? Surprise them and make a phone call. And I'll start. I'm going to do it tomorrow this time.
One couple.
It makes me furious. I just don't get it.
This is what she wants to do.
One problem.
My daughter wants to do a spa weekend for her 16th birthday.
And I'm being deprived of going there because I'm a guy?
You decide the outcome.
All right, Gabby, you got to be happy to hear that, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can have a family dinner when we get back in town.
It's Couples Court on the Anna and Raven Show.
Every day a couple joins us. They let us know what their disagreement is about, and it's up for you to decide who's right. Couples Court powered by NHTSA. Crashes can happen to even the safest of drivers. That's where driver assistance technologies like lane keeping assistance come in. Learn more at NHTSA.gov/driver tech. Paid for by NHTSA. Darren and Kathy, you guys are actually not a couple. You're divorced, right?
That's correct.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
All right. So, Kathy, what's going on?
So, Darren is getting married again, and Darren and I have a son who's in his junior year of high school, and Darren has decided that this wedding should happen during the week, 4 hours from where we live, so our son has to miss 2 days of school to be there, and to me, it's like, just either have it on a weekend, or, like, our kid's not going. Darren's also taking him on vacation and to miss school, like, later towards the holidays. So it's like, change something. You can't just keep taking our kid out of school. What that says to me is, like, oh, your new family is going to be more important than your current son.
Darren, what's your side of this?
Look, I know he's a junior in high school. It's 2 days of school. It's my wedding. This is a huge day for me, and I want him to be there. You know, I get it. It's a couple days of school, but, I mean, this is an important day for me.
How many days is he going to miss for this vacation coming up around the holidays?
That's only, what, a week? And that's really what that, you know, it's that thing where they do the short week where it's like there's 3 days on and 2 days off. So we'll miss three more days.
I mean, right at the holiday time, too.
It's a lot. It's like midterm time. When it gets to the high school years, it's a lot more important than the elementary school years. Honestly, like, I would have pulled my kids out for vacations, you know, when they were younger. But now when you're in high school, like, those are important. Junior year is important.
Yeah, I mean, junior year is important, obviously, in your education. But, I mean, you're telling me you miss 2 days in a week, Anna, and you don't know what's going on when you come back the next week?
No,
I mean,
you don't.
Your education will falter because you missed 2 days.
Yeah, he can do this stuff online now. Like, he's been able to go in and get, like, all this work done online since COVID. So it's like, I don't understand what the big deal is.
Well, I mean, Darren, I'm not completely on your side. I mean, who gets married during the week and then just tells your son that he's got to drag himself out of school? I would have considered that when I put together the date. But, I mean, on the other hand, divorce sucks, right? So this sounds like sour grapes, Kev. I mean, this sounds like, you know, you're just being difficult to be difficult. You say that he doesn't want his son to be part of his new family, but you're the one telling him that he can't take his son. So
I feel like I have spent so much time trying to show that I am fine with him being with someone else, being like, sure, you all go on a vacation for the holidays and he'll miss school. And to me, this was the last straw. And it's his third marriage.
I mean, just drive the point home, though, sour grapes. I mean, he's not your problem anymore, you know? And your son's going to be 18 in about 10 seconds. And keep that in mind, too.
I don't know. I see Kathy's side. I honestly do. It's not like she's saying he couldn't go, but like, you're going to miss all this school already. Now you're going to miss 2 days now. What do you think? Would you let your son miss school to go to a middle-of-the-week wedding that's 4 hours away? I don't know.
You know what we were doing in my school 3 days before Christmas, 2 days before Christmas? Just nothing.
But this
nothing
is in whatsoever. Addition. Those are the 3 days that
right.
you're missing.
Thank you.
And
so you
then
got
in
two
addition.
Real days that he might miss a lesson in one or two classes, and he could get the work. And then at Christmas, you got a study hall where everybody's asleep watching a movie.
It's finals. It's semester finals.
All right, let's see what the audience has to say. They may agree with you, Kathy. He's already taking him out for the holidays, extra days, and now he wants to take him out next month for a couple more days because he planned a middle-of-the-week wedding. What do you think? Is it wrong?
1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? It's the Couples Court with Ann and Raven.
Oh, it's a hot one.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Darren and Kathy are divorced, and they have a son who is a junior in high school. Darren is getting married for a third time and planned a midweek wedding 4 hours away, so their son would have to miss a couple days of school. Now, keep in mind, he also already approved, and she already said okay, for him to miss 3 days of his junior year right before the holidays for Christmas because they're going away on vacation. Kathy says, we're not taking him out. I'm not taking him out again next month, another 2 days he's going to miss because you decided to have your third wedding in the middle of the week.
I mean, there's a couple things at play here. Number one, first off, again, divorce is not a fun situation. Number two, they both have rights. And I just want to point out the fact that I get it. It's not great. But I think that she ends up the loser in this situation no matter what happens here. And I think they got to take that into account, man. I mean, life is long. You got to, you know, if you're going to tell your son he can't go to his father's wedding, that's a big deal.
What do you think? What would you do? 1-800-330-9999. Christine, whose side are you on?
So I'm on the husband's side, and I want you to know I'm married for 32 years. Has nothing to do with the divorce. I think the wife has to take that out of it and, like, put sides apart. This is an important day in his life. Doesn't matter how many times he's been married. And it's 2 days. You got parents that are sticklers about missing school, and you got parents who are more lax. What kind of student is he? What does the son want to do? I just think life is short, you know, and he should be able to go to his father's wedding.
Do you agree with that? 1-800-330-9999. Whose side are you on? Couples Court. Darren and Kathy are divorced, but they share a son who's a junior in high school. Darren's getting remarried for a third time. He scheduled his destination wedding about 4 hours away from where they live.
What can I tell you, Anna? He's a romantic.
The Couples Court verdict is powered by Leaf Filter. Protect your home and never clean out gutters again with Leaf Filter, America's number one gutter protection system. That means he'll have to miss 2 days of school. Kathy's upset because she already agreed for him taking 3 days off during the holidays to go on vacation with them. 5 days they'll miss in the first half of the year.
I get it. It's a really uncomfortable situation for everybody. But here's the thing to remember is that both parents have rights, right? This is not completely up to Kathy. If the son resents you after you make this decision, do you win it all? That's my biggest concern.
Do you think he should be allowed to take these couple extra days? 1-800-330-9999.
I'm on the mom's side. Regardless of whether they're divorced or not, the kids are junior in high school. Huge year for college transcripts-wise. You can't miss 5 days of school junior year.
Here's the thing, Colleen. Like, I agree. Like, he shouldn't miss the school. But I don't know how on earth you live with the fact that you kept your son from going to his father's wedding. I feel like that's going to be resentment that's going to be there for a long time. I got to tell you, I think that This is the problem. No, if anything,
I get that too.
No, but if his dad cared so much about him being there, he would have made it convenient for his son.
Yeah, yeah. In your mind, you think that your son is going to think logically about it. He's not. He's going to think that my mom kept me from going to my dad's wedding. That's the way it's going to work.
It's his fault.
Hey, Meredith, what do you think? Whose side are you on today?
I was actually on his side at first until I heard he was taking his son on vacation too, and now I'm on her side. I have a junior in high school, and she misses one day. It's a nightmare for her.
Caroline, whose side are you on?
I'm on her side, honestly. Someone who's in a graduate program for education, I think the son's going to be the disadvantage because junior year, you typically apply to colleges, and it really matters. Had it been senior year, I'd be like, oh, okay, like, not a problem. But junior year is really important.
Yeah, I mean, I get what everybody's saying here, but as somebody who has seen many divorces and lived through a divorce house, you're in a lose-lose situation here, Mom. This is what you don't get. You're going to lose this. You might as well just take it in the shin, but whatever.
The verdict is in. Jury foreman, what are the results?
Kathy, our audience agreed with you. Darren, if you really cared about your son being there, you wouldn't have scheduled a wedding in the middle of the week where he was going to have to miss 2 days of school.
Thank you. Darren, are you still there?
I guess that's what people think. It's not how I feel. I think education in this country has gone a little sideways anyway, so I'm just a little disappointed in that.
I hear some of what you're saying, I suppose, and usually I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, what if he had the flu? What if he had a cold? He'd be out anyways.
Yeah, but right? What happens when he also gets the flu or the cold and he has to take those additional days, too? I know that our school district is cracking down. We already got the thing, and then you fall into default.
That's not good, but to miss your father's wedding. Darren, you should not have planned it during the week. Period, point blank. You wanted your son to be there. You should have thought about that. You must have thought about that. It must have come up, and you considered it not to be a big enough deal to change your thinking.
I understand what you're saying. I just have to, maybe I'm not going to sound like the best guy here, but it is my third wedding. I've had my first marriage was a big destination wedding with hundreds of people. Our second marriage was a big weekend event at a private little hotel residence. And this one I just wanted to do low-key. And the most important people I need there are my son and my sister. So that's about it.
I don't think there's any winners, to tell you the truth.
Huh.
All right. Well, if you have a problem too, send an email. couplescore@annonraven.com.
Can't beat Raven.
The Can't Beat Raven cash jackpot is $200 thanks to Secret Whole Body Deodorant. Some secrets are okay to tell, like how using Secret Whole Body Deodorant gives you 72 hours of freshness and more than just your armpits. Use it in sticks, sprays, or creams. All right, Nina, you ready to play today?
Yes.
All right, let's do it. Can you please ask Raven to leave the room?
Raven, leave the room, please.
You got it. Good luck.
Get on out of here.
Thanks.
All right. All right, Nina, it's 5 questions. Raven can't hear us. He's out in the hallway. We're in a soundproof studio. You have 3 seconds to answer each one. He'll come back in. Same questions. Whoever gets the most right wins. Ties go to Raven. You ready?
Okay.
Number 1, the global average temperatures from June through August were the hottest on record in history. In Katy Perry's hit classic song, Hot and Cold, the opening lyrics say, "You change your mind like a girl changes what?"
Close.
Number 2, Complex.com made a list of the top 50 best breakfast cereals of all time. And top 3 were Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cap'n Crunch Crunch Berries, and the third has a mascot of Buzz Bee on the box. What's that one?
Oh, my goodness.
That's
of who
time.
On the box?
That's time. Number 3, Beetlejuice nearly breaks the box office record with a $100 million debut. What actress plays the role of Winona Ryder's daughter in the film?
Oh my gosh, what's her name? Not Olivia Rodrigo. Oh, what's her name?
That's time, friend. Number 4, today, September 9th is the most popular day of the year for birthdays. Celebrity birthdays today include Michael Bublé, Hugh Grant, and the actor that starred in Uncut Gems and The Waterboy. Who is that?
Adam Sandler.
Number 5, New York Fashion Week is underway, the first of the Big Four Fashion Weeks. Included in the Big Four Fashion Week, cities are New York, London, Paris, and what other city?
Is it France? I don't know.
Okay, let me bring Raven back in.
Okay.
Yo.
All right, 2 out of 5 for Nina.
Not great. Let's see how I do.
Number 1, global average temperatures from June through August were the hottest on record in history. In Katy Perry's hit classic song, Hot and Cold, the opening lyrics say, "You change your mind like a girl changes
Close.
Close is correct.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, Complex.com made a list of the 50 best breakfast cereals of all time. The top three were Cinnamon Toast Crunch, Cap'n Crunch Crunch Berries, and the third has a mascot of Buzz Bee on the box. What's that one?
Is that Honey Nut Cheerios?
Correct.
Delicious.
Number three, Beetlejuice Beetlejuice nearly breaks the box office record with a $110 million debut.
Yeah.
What actress plays the role of Winona Ryder's daughter in the film?
Jenna Ortega. She's the best.
That's right. Number four. I know. It was on the tip of your tongue. I knew it. No, and oddly, when I think about Jenna Ortega, I also think about Olivia Rodrigo, and I don't know why. Maybe just because they're young and have dark hair?
No, they look alike, yeah.
Number four, today, September 9th, is the most popular day of the year for birthdays. If you do 40 weeks ago, it's the holidays, which is interesting.
Okay.
Celebrity birthdays today include Michael Bublé, Hugh Grant, and the actor that starred in Uncut Gems and The Waterboy. Who's that?
It's Adam Sandler.
Correct. And number five, New York Fashion Week is underway, the first of the Big Four Fashion Weeks. Included in the Big Four, New York, London, Paris, and what's the fourth? What are you saying?
What did you say? You said New York, London, Paris?
Yeah.
Los Angeles?
No.
Nope.
No, of course not. It's Milan. All right, I'm sorry,
totally.
Nina. He beat you 4-2 today. That's going to get you an Anna and Raven t-shirt.
It's Anna and I can't beat Raven.
Better luck next time. Enjoy that shirt, girl. $300 tomorrow, Anna.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.